this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 319 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And so obviously the big news this week has been the guilty verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial, the cop who killed George Floyd. And people have asked what I thought. As a matter of fact, I did, and I hope you heard it. If not, you can still get it because it's there. We did a Facebook Live show with the new talk radio station, KBLA Talk 1580. We haven't launched a station yet, but we did have the various hosts, and we had sort of a roundtable talk about this. And again, you can go to Facebook, KBLA 1580, and you can listen to it. So here's my take, my first reaction. Obviously, glad to see he was found guilty, and at the same time, disappointed at the surprise of him being found guilty. I would put it, my guesstimate, 40% surprise. Even with the preponderance of evidence, right? The videos, the cops who testified that it was excessive force, the medical people who testified that he died from the pressure on his neck, etc. We were still like, but are they going to get it right? And I love what the prosecutor said in his closing argument, which was simply, you can believe what you saw. You can believe what you saw. And the jury did. And definitely annoyed. Look, I get it. The defense attorney has a job to do. But his, you know, they're still sticking to the old super strength black man, large black man, scared cop defense. You know, you know how strong George Floyd would have to have three cops on him with one kneeling on his neck, and he's still so strong they're afraid. That's, you know, but they stick to it. That's the narrative, and they're gonna stick to it. And like I said, I have skin in the game on this one because I happen to be a large black man, so I must possess some superhuman strength. They were going for the, you know, lawyers tell me that they were just trying to get the doubt of one juror. I mean, the defense lawyer must have used the word reasonable 20, 25 times in his closing argument. So it's done. Are things better? Are things fixed? Not even close. I mean, during the trial, right? During the trial, Dante Wright was killed by a cop who claimed that she didn't know it was the taser. She mixed up her taser with a gun. Mind you, Dante Wright, 20-year-old, skinny kid. Apparently he had a warrant, some possession of weed thing or whatever. He didn't show up in court. He did try to, he tried to run. Some say, yeah, you better run. Cops are out to kill you. But the point being, he was no threat. Okay. Now, we also had Makia Bryant, 15-year-old girl, and she was killed within an hour or two of the verdict being dropped. And they say she had a knife, and she did. She did. So, not sure yet what the story is, but I guess what I've read and what I've heard is that there was a fight between some girls. Some girls were ganging up on her. She had a knife to defend herself. Either she or her people called the police and said she was being threatened. Cop shows up, sees her with a knife going for the girl who, I guess, initially attacked her. I don't know for sure. This is the story. And cop shot her 4 times in the chest. Now, some will say, well, she had a knife. Okay, let's not bullshit here. Let's not pretend. If she was a 15-year-old white girl with a knife, she would be alive today. The cop would have found a way to stop her with non-deadly force. They certainly wouldn't have led with the gun. How do I know? By the number of white armed mass murderers who they've taken alive. We see it all the time. These mass murderers, shooters, yeah, they're all alive. Kyle Rittenhouse just walking through the streets of Milwaukee with his gun, walked right past the cops carrying a gun. Nah, no problem. Just killed 2 people. Yeah, Kyle, well, you know, the killer in North Carolina at the church. Well, you hungry? Let's stop at McDonald's on the way to jail. So, are we doing better? No. No, we're not doing better. It was good. I'm obviously glad Chauvin is guilty. I'm glad some cops testified against him. That's a start. We got a long way to go, people. We got a long way to go. Now, I will say a couple of things. It sounded too much like church for me. Even Al Sharpton making his remark, let's start with a prayer. This is no disrespect to people of faith. This is no disrespect. I mean no disrespect to religious people. But this is a legal matter, and this is a legal system, and we need to work. When I say we, I mean black people, people of color, minorities being abused by the police, need to work on the legal system, not prayer, okay? Because the oppressor's not praying. The cop who killed you, he's not praying to get away with it because he knows the system is rigged in his favor, and he or she will probably get away with it. And the congressmen involved and the judges involved and the senators involved, all of them, that's where we have to go. No disrespect to your belief, no disrespect to Jesus. We don't need to start with a prayer. We need to start with law. We need to get more people in law school. We need to get more people into the system. My favorite thing, the best thing I heard that day, was President Biden using the phrase systematic racism. To me, that's huge. That's huge. When a 78-year-old white president admits and talks about there is systematic racism in the United States, something denied by the entire Republican Party, just denied it. No, that doesn't exist. Yeah, bullshit. So the fact that he actually recognized it, to me, that is a start. I hope it's something we can build on. There was an officer, and this is how bad the system is. He did a video, and he has to go under the name Brian B. I guess he can't give his full name. I'm sure it's been out by now, but I'm looking at the article I have. This officer, Brian B., talks about the taser versus the gun, which is the defense for killing Dante Wright. I can't even keep up with the names. I'm sorry. So he shows the weight difference between a taser and a gun. He shows how the taser is mounted on your not dominant hand and your gun is mounted for your dominant hand. And he says, I'm reading these quotes from his video. I don't understand how we can mistake a taser for a gun or a gun for a taser. If you're in the heat of the moment and you do something like that, you shouldn't be doing this job. Because nobody likes a bad cop. I'm not going to put my life on the line to try to fix your stupidity and deal with restoring the peace with my public that I serve. This is a cop saying that. Deal with restoring the peace with my public that I serve just because of your stupid actions. It makes no sense. This is the cop. 99% of our job is communication. You don't got to be quick to pull out a gun or a taser on somebody and think that everybody is a threat. Not everybody's a threat. Try talking to them. Get to know them, people. He could even say get to know them as people. Now, I don't know who Officer Brian B. is or where he is, but whoever he's policing is very lucky. Because imagine if we could change. See, you want to know what we want? What do you guys want? You're always marching. What do you want? That's what we want. That type of policing, a cop that says 99% of our job is communication and says, don't go for your weapon first. You know, I don't know how many of you listening have seen military vehicles, particularly the MRAP. The MRAP is the truck that replaced the Hummer because the MRAP couldn't be blown up with IEDs. This goes back to the war in Iraq. And I happened to be lucky enough to go to Iraq and entertain the troops, and I got to ride an MRAP. My point being, this thing is intimidating. It is huge, and it is made for business. And when the police roll through the streets in these things, that is not policing. That is an armed invasion of your neighborhood. Of course, tensions rise. Listen to what he's saying. If you mix up a gun with a taser, I can't be held responsible for your stupidity, because they're so obviously different. And communication is part of the job. This is what we want. We want an educated police force. We want a police force that treats people the same. You know, stop with the, he was so scared. And here's another thing, okay? They're cowards. Listen, if you're afraid of Trayvon Martin, 17-year-old skinny kid, you're a coward. If you're afraid of Dante Wright, there's multiple cops, adults wearing body armor, trained to fight, trained to take down, et cetera, and you can't handle this 20-year-old kid that probably don't weigh $1.50 soaking wet. If you can't handle a 15-year-old girl, I don't care if she's a big girl, she's a 15-year-old girl. As somebody said, he said, if you roll up and fire a warning shot in the air, everybody hits the ground. Everybody. And maybe you're not allowed to fire a warning shot in the air. I don't know. But you're a cop. You're supposed to be brave and tough and all of that. And so many of them have that tough guy image. And you can't take down a teenager without killing him. You're weak. You're weak. You can't gang tackle a 15-year-old. Huh? You can't. Are you kidding me? That's a situation. Okay, you got a 15-year-old with a knife. That's a situation you could use a taser. You could use force, but non-lethal force. I believe tasers work at a longer distance than an arm, because that's how far a knife works, an arm. You get an arm's length. 15-year-old girl, their arms aren't that long. My arm's long. Their arm, not that long. So I think you could handle it. There's a bunch of ways you could do it. But instead, it's kill first and maybe ask questions later. And when we have to tell a jury, you can believe what you see. You know, and these body cameras, they work and they don't work. The good thing about body cameras is we see it. The bad thing about body cameras is it doesn't deter them from doing it. They know they're going to be on video murdering you. And they're like, yeah, well, I'll beat it in court. How are we doing in systematic racism? Not very well. Not very well. In Oklahoma, they actually passed a bill that allows you to run over protesters. Yeah, that's the bill. It allows drivers immunity. If protesters block a street, drivers who hit them get immunity. Now, who do you think that's aimed at? Now, if there's a Klan rally in the street and a black guy plows through it in a semi, I'm guessing that law won't be on his side. But if there's a Black Lives Matter protest, and remember, Oklahoma, Tulsa, okay, where they burned down Black Wall Street and murdered all those black people for pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, okay? So if you want to run over a Black Lives Matter protest, they just made sure that you won't have to go to court. You know, we're going to go ahead and make that legal. How are we doing on systematic racism? Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I hate saying her name. I hate saying her name because it adds to her publicity, and she's stupid and deserves no respect, but she speaks, and she lies. She's so into the Trump playbook of I'll just keep lying out loud and they'll just keep printing the lies. And, you know, it's been said that the lie is on page one, the retraction is on page six. So her bullshit was, this is the day of the Chauvin verdict. She said, DC is completely dead tonight. People stayed in and were scared to go out because of fear of riots. BLM, Black Lives Matter, is the strongest terrorist threat in our country. That's what she said. Now, the truth is, people are out and about. This is this is what people tweeted, because they, you know, these people forget the internet is real. People are out and about on a warm night. There's no more police presence than usual. So it was just another night in D.C. Systematic racism. racism built into the system, racism endorsed by people in power. What kind of people in power? Well, let's take another look because we got someone else. This is really, just so you know what you're up against when you go to court. In Colorado, Judge Natalie Chase resigned, finally, after using the word nigger at least four times with black people, and she tried the old... Now, she has a court facilitator, who, which is somebody who works for her, someone under her in court, using the old, why can black people use the N-word and not white people? And she said, all lives matter. She called another judge a fucking bitch, blah, blah, blah. So the point being, this judge, okay, her personal views, her personal prejudices, her personal hatred of others, whatever, has come out. She's a judge. So if you're black or if you're brown or if you're other and you appeared before her, you thought you were going to court. You thought you were going to get a fair day in court. Do you think you got a fair day in court? That's systematic racism, people. People, whenever someone denies it, just tell them these things. Tell them, explain to them what systematic racism is, okay? Do like Stacey Adams did in Congress when they asked her what's wrong with the Georgia voting law, and she broke it down step by step, every bit of the law and what's wrong. Let them know. Let them know. This podcast, it's always funny to me to switch to the ads, but I love the ads and I appreciate the advertisers, but I got to work on a smoother transition. Anyway, brought to you by HelloFresh. Let me tell you about HelloFresh, okay? HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients, recipes delivered right to your door. Now I've tried this and I am a man who cannot cook, so I had to bring in a helper. Had to bring in a helper. I had to get out of someone's way and let them cook. But if you have basic cooking skills, you get everything you need from HelloFresh. The ingredients, the recipes, they deliver it to the door. It's packed in dry ice, so it's fresh and it's not frozen forever. But I mean, it's not going to... Listen, I live in a place where you leave food out by the door and I don't know... skunk, raccoon, or squirrel might get it. Okay, so you don't have to worry about that because this is sealed and it's safe and it's good. Now, your meal's ready in 20 minutes or less. There are plenty of recipes for all meals, okay? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, vegetarian, etc., etc. You choose what you want. They send it. You cook it. You eat. It's easy. 20 minutes. That's about the time. That's a little quicker than your food's going to be delivered. When have you ever had your food delivered in 20 minutes? You haven't. You order some food and you DoorDash it or Uber it or whatever to your house, get the pizza delivered. It takes more than 20 minutes. You know that. Try this. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And it's good. And throw that in. It was good. The food was good. So I've tried it. So you plan ahead. You order these recipes. We're trying to get healthy. We're trying to lose that COVID weight. Huh? You want to eat better? This is the way to do it. Now, I'm going to give you a deal. Go to HelloFresh.com/12Alonzo and use the code 12Alonzo for 12 free meals. Huh? My name will get you something. HelloFresh.com/12Alonzo. That's 12Alonzo, 12 Alonzo. Use the code 12 Alonzo, 12 free meals, including free shipping. Okay, HelloFresh, delicious, easy, you can do this. Getting back to the podcast and our brilliant government, sometimes, why do they go on Twitter? Not that they should be banned from Twitter, just... they should be watched by the adults. So They're going through right now, they're talking about making Washington, D.C. a state. You're probably aware of this, okay? But some people aren't happy about it, and that would be Republicans. So Representative Mike Loychik from Ohio went to Twitter and simply put, "The founders never intended for Washington, D.C. to become a state." He put that on Twitter. So a few people kind of responded him and let him know. For example, one tweet, "The founders also thought that human beings should be property. Things changed." Another one, "The founders never intended for women or black people to vote. And yet here we are." And then they got good. "The founders often pooped in buckets. We've advanced as a society and can make decisions based on information from this century." Here's another great one. "The founders treated headaches with leeches." You're talking about the founders here. Here's someone. "The founders never intended for Nick Foles to win a Super Bowl." Insane. Insane nonsense. I got to wrap it up. And we got some... I love wrapping up with the crazy because it's just insane. But that's jokingly insane. But before that, I want to talk to you about BetterHelp.com because this is real. Mental illness is a real thing. And it's something we, unfortunately, in this country, dismiss and don't deal with. And we should. And there's a lot of people suffering. And you may be one of them. Have you ever gotten in your own way? I know I have. Have you ever interfered with your own happiness? It's just felt you just didn't feel good. You felt depressed. You felt stressed. You were sad over something and whatever. Listen, you can talk to somebody, okay? Here's the thing. BetterHelp.com. It's great. It will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. You connect in a safe and private environment. You do it online. You start communicating in under 48 hours. Okay, this isn't self-help or anything like that. You're talking to a professional counselor. Depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping problems, grief, family conflicts, anger, self-esteem, all of these things. People, you're not alone. You're not the only one. We have these problems. So you just contact BetterHelp.com. Get on your way to feeling better. Okay, now here's the offer. As a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting my sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Alonzo. BetterHelp, HELP.com/Alonzo. 10% off your first month. Start feeling better. Start taking care of you. Mental health is real. So, What funny thing happened this week? You know, there's a saying, I don't know if you ever heard this, that God's got a sense of humor. And some people wonder, well, what does that mean? What do you mean God has a sense of humor? Oh, every now and then I'm pretty confident God's just having a laugh. Like when? Oh, like when Ted Nugent tests positive for COVID. Yeah, that Ted Nugent. Now, had Ted Nugent been a man of his word, he would have moved to Costa Rica back when Barack Obama got elected, and maybe he wouldn't have got the COVID. But instead, he stuck around. So he called the pandemic a scam. Of course, he's against any wearing a mask. And then, quote, "I've had flu symptoms for the last 10 days. I thought I was dying. I mean, just a clusterfuck." And then, of course, to stick with his racism, because you got to stay on brand, he put, "I got the Chinese shit." No, you didn't, stupid. You got the coronavirus. It's real. And it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. What an asshole. And do I even need to talk? Ben Carson... Ben Carson says racial equity is another kind of racism. His logic, if you can call it that, is that if you have a race that's been treated superior and you isolate that race and tell them, no, you're not superior, you're equal to others, that's somehow being racist toward the supremacist. Well trained, Ben. That's all I can say. You are well trained. They can hold you up in this example. You idiot. How can you be a neurosurgeon? And I don't even know. I'll tell you my Ben Carson story really quick. So I was working on a cruise, and I made fun of Ben Carson and spending the money to decorate his office. If you remember, he spent like $5,000 or something. He went way over the budget he was supposed to. And the next day I'm having breakfast, and someone comes up to me, a woman says, hey, that whole story about Ben Carson and his office is false. It's not true. Now, this person just walked up to me, okay? Didn't have to say a word. People are on vacation. Could have left me alone. But she said she was on his staff. It's not true. That was Tuesday. On Thursday, Ben Carson came out and said, yeah, my wife decorated the office and spent the money. Who lies to you intentionally? Who walks up to you to intentionally tell you a lie? Someone on Ben Carson's staff. Someone whose leader says that racial equity is racism. Finally, because, you know, technology. Oh, Baby Hands. You remember Baby Hands? He wanted to build a wall. Well, the wall's being defeated in Texas because the Texas Border Patrol finds itself constantly having to destroy $5 ladders left on the side of the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Not only are they climbing the wall, they're doing it with $5 ladders. That is a cheap-ass ladder, okay? It says, the Border Patrol said they destroy so many ladders that they regularly have to call the city of Hidalgo, Texas, to haul away piles of lumber. Build a wall. And Mexico said, sell a ladder for $5. I love it. I love it. You just can't, I can't write anything funnier than that. I always want to go out on good news. That's good news. You know, someone else, Mark Jordan, sent me a thing that about the helicopter flying on Mars, which is great. Technology like that is great. And I'm happy it happened, and I know it's only a matter of time before Elon Musk and Richard Branson start selling tickets to ride a helicopter on Mars. But we're not going to worry about that right now. We just sit back and enjoy $5 ladders are beating the wall. Who's paying attention? You are. I hope you're doing fantastic. Next week, I am actually going to work. I'm heading to Seattle to a club called Laughs on April 30th and May 1st. It'll be good to work live. I hope you're vaccinated. I hope you're safe. I hope you're still wearing a mask and practicing social distancing, unlike Ted Nugent, who was flat on his back with COVID and had time to think and yet somehow didn't. You're better than that. Take care of yourself. Keep laughing, and thank you.